Happy New Year. We finally entered into 2014. Happy New Year. You know, a new year always brings hope that we can improve our lives. I don't know if any of you made New Year's resolutions. Most people do. They decide that's a good time to start something new or to end something old. And so at the new year, they do that. Sadly, many people, they only carry out their New Year's resolutions until about the end of February. But we it's a good time to change, and it's a good time to do that. I heard somebody say, the new year is like everybody's birthday. It's a time to start over. It's a time to clean up and start what you're supposed to do. But I heard a commercial on TV the other day that had a guy and some kids, and this kid was talking about his New Year revolutions. That's what we need. We need a New Year's revolution instead of a New Year's resolution. We need to revolt. I'm not talking about going out in the streets and getting guns or anything. I'm talking about let's revolt against the devil. Let's revolt against the doubt and the fear. Let's have a revolution that says, no, I'm not going to take that from you anymore. I choose to walk with God. Let's revolt against the failures of the past that are trying to dictate our future. I'll tell you, the devil is so good at it. He accuses us and he tells us that because this has happened in the past, that this can never happen in the future. Or because this did happen, we have to do it that way from now on, and that we're stuck in that way. Let's revolt against that. We don't have to do anything that the past said we have to do. We only have to do what God calls us to do today. Let's revolt against the circumstances and the naysaying in our lives that is contradicting the Word. Let's just have a revolution. Amen? Let's make a decision that is simply not what we're going to do. Let's make this a year of the Word in our lives. If you don't have a regular habit of being in the Word, I understand we've already started the year for a few days, but if you don't have a regular habit, I challenge you right now, begin to make the Word of God the priority in your life. Some might say, well, I don't have time for the Bible. Listen, you don't have time for the Bible. It needs to be a part of every single day. Even if it's half a chapter a day, you need to take time in the Word of God. If you're only going to read a half a chapter a day, let me encourage you to start with the Gospel of Mark. Then read Matthew, and then read Mark, and then read Luke, and then read Mark, and read John, and Mark, and Acts, and Mark. By that time, you're going to be really, really, really acquainted with Jesus. Take the time to get in the Bible. That's where the answers are going to be. Let's make this the year of His Word in our lives. It's a time for us to begin again. God likes it. He likes new things. He doesn't mind things being new. I realize He's the Ancient of Days, and He's always the same. But I'll tell you what, He wants to do a new thing. Listen to this verse of Scripture. This is in Isaiah chapter 43. You know this, I'm sure. The Lord said, remember not the former things. God doesn't want us to base what we do on what we've done. He said, don't remember that stuff. Forget all that stuff. Neither consider the things of old. He went on to say, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Now, in other words, you got to be, in order to know what the new thing, you got to forget the old thing. He's saying, if you're focused on what's happened in the past, you will miss out when I do a new thing. He says, you're going to miss it. He said, I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We know prophetically from what we're hearing in the Spirit that a new thing is on the way. The only question about the new thing is not if it's going to come, but if I'm going to be a part, if you're going to be a part. God is doing a new thing. It's different, and you just better be ready for what it is, the Lord would say. It will not look like what you've seen. It's different. And as it comes, the Lord says, be ready for it. Prophetically, he's doing a new thing. The Bible says this in Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. The Bible talks to us and says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, what that's saying is your mind needs to be new. He's saying, think differently than you have before. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, too many people are still thinking like lost sinners, even though they're saved people. And people who think like lost sinners act like lost sinners. People who are thinking like the world, even though they might die and go to heaven, they're acting like the world. Here's what the Lord said. He said, get your mind new. And then in verse 24, he said this, and once you get your mind renewed, put on a new mind, that you put on the new man. Ladies, you have a new man. I'm not saying you got a new husband. There is inside of you the hidden man of the heart, the scripture says, when it's talking to women. It says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, once you are thinking different, you can put on the new man. The new year wants the new you to be put on you. And he wants you to live a life in righteousness and true holiness. And that only can come when the mind is renewed. When your mind is new and you're thinking new, you can act like you're supposed to do. We've been made new creatures at the new birth. And now it's time to allow the new man to dominate our very being as our minds are renewed in this new year. Here's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, verse 22. He said this, no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred or destroyed, but the new wine must be put in new bottles. We know this, that new wine is being poured out. And when the new wine is poured out, it will not go into the old wineskin or the old bottle of the charismatic renewal. It will not fit there. We need to know that God is doing something brand new. And it's going to look different than what we think. It's going to look different than what perhaps than we want. See, our nation is in trouble. These are perilous times. Our only hope is Jesus, and the old containers will not hold the new wine. They won't hold it. So we need to be ready for a new thing. I'm thanking God, and I want you just to agree with me. We thank God for a move, a new, fresh move of His Spirit in this year. Among these people, we believe him for something new. I want to look at the passage we looked at last week out of Acts chapter 3, verse 18. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. It says, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all of his prophets, that's interesting, all his prophets, everybody prophesied about Jesus coming. He said, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. He says, it's happened. Now, because of that, he said, repent ye therefore and be converted. Now, we talked about last week that little phrase here, repent therefore and be converted, means to change your mind, which produces a change of the way you act, and return or put it in reverse. Quit acting that way, that your sins may be blotted out. When we change the way we think and we reverse course, that's it says so that your sins would be canceled. Then it says, so that times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I really like that. Times of refreshing. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now, this verse is not necessarily talking about the second coming of Jesus. This is talking about the manifested presence of Jesus in the body of believers, among people here now. He said, repent, be converted, so that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. Man, I like that. We've been talking about refreshing. We've seen, according to that verse, and we can find in other places, there are times or seasons of refreshing. Times, we on Wednesday nights for 3 weeks, Abby taught us about American revivals. And we saw there were seasons of refreshing. Seasons where the move of God came in our country and lasted for years. And we saw it was a season where the presence of God was manifest, where Jesus came and manifested himself in our country. We saw that. We right now, not just us, but there are other people, we are actively believing God for a time of refreshing in Lubbock, Texas. We want to see. Now, when I say Lubbock, you understand I'm talking about the region. Because it affects not just a street, it affects a region. On Azusa Street, the revival affected the whole world because of its outreaching. But there's a time. We believe God. I believe, and I hope you believe with me, there is a season of refreshing for Lubbock. Amen? A season. We receive it, Father, by faith. We do not base what we believe on what we can see, taste, touch, hear, or feel. We believe it based on what we know in the Spirit. All right, last week we looked at this passage, and the Scripture says that these refreshings come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing, the word refreshing means revival. It means it's talking about fresh air coming, a fresh cool breeze on a hot day, a refreshing. This reviving comes from the presence of the Lord. We found out last week, we looked up that word presence, or I told you what it meant because I had looked it up, but that word presence means the countenance or the face of the Lord. Revival comes when God turns his face toward his people. That's revival. When God's face is turned toward us. We read from Isaiah when the Bible said, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." We found out that when it said, "Arise, shine, thy light is come," that the light comes from the face of God. When God looks at his family, when it's face on, the light comes on. And we shine. And it says that the world will come to us for the answers there in Isaiah. I believe God is in the process of turning his face. Now, we've got to be looking at it to be the beneficiaries of the brightness of this light. But he said this refreshing comes from his face. He looks upon us. We saw last week that the blessing of the Lord is the result of his countenance shining toward us. Here's where many Christians are right now. They're so concerned with getting their ministry, their miracle, their need met, and they're so concerned with all of their things that they can't even tell that God is turning his face toward them. And they're missing it. Because the answer is not in these things. The answer is in his face. And if I'm looking at his face, I can't be looking at all that stuff. What's happened over the years is that the charismatic renewal has become a thing that has caused people to begin to look at my ministry, my prosperity, my this and my that. And what's happened, this thing that started with us looking here has caused us to look here. We've had great teaching, and it's been good teaching over the decades, but the church of Jesus today, for the most part, is not looking for him. They're looking for what he can do. And that has made us think that we're in the process of having a move of God when we're not. We're in the process of having a, listen, the principles of the word will work. And you can get those without looking at him. But there's nothing compared to him. That's why there aren't miracles in the church like there ought to be. Because the church is looking down here at something instead of looking at his face. That's where the refreshing comes from. That's why people are getting tired and quitting. I just want to quit. I'm tired of it. I'm tired. I just want to quit. Well, it's because we're looking here. Or we're looking at the preachers. Or we're looking at the TV guy. Well, we need to be looking here at him. See, that's what has to happen. So the blessing of God comes from his countenance. His face shines on us as he turns and looks at us. But we've got to be looking back. We've got to be looking for him. We must be seekers of his face and not his hand. We must want him. Most of the church world is wanting a feeling. I want to come, and if the worship leader can give me a feeling, that must be the presence of God. Or if the preacher can preach me into a frenzy, that must be the presence of God. I've been in groups of people that the louder you preach, the more anointed you're considered to be. And if you can say, the Lord, put a little at the end of a lot of your words, that means you're somewhat anointed. I'm not opposed to them putting the word at the end of words, but when we studied these revivals that Abby told us about, we found out there were a lot of people who were leaders of great moves of the Spirit of God that weren't great preachers. In fact, we found out there were a lot of leaders of great moves of the Spirit of God that didn't know very much. When William Seymour led the people in Los Angeles, they weren't quite to Azusa Street yet, but when he led them, he talked about this baptism of the Holy Spirit that he didn't even possess. And somebody else got it first. And he was teaching on it. That's amazing. See, the first thing they tell you in preacher groups is you never preach anything you don't have. Well, he preached what he didn't have. But he got it. And it affected the world. We want his presence. We want to be looking to him, not to the preacher, not to anybody else, but to him. Listen, when I give my $1,000 to the TV preacher, which is fine, if looking at him and he says, give it to him, that's cool. But if I give it to him while I'm looking down here, I'm probably going to be disappointed. And I'm going to say, God's word doesn't work for me. Listen, if anybody who ever sent money to the TV preacher who promised them a whole bunch of stuff because they sent money to him, it's not his fault, it's their fault if it didn't happen. Yeah, but he said I would get it. It's not up to him, it's up to you hearing God. See, we've been praying for what God will do. What we need is him. That's what we want. I tell you, if he shows up, if we get his face to shine on us, I mean, it's going to shine on us and all that stuff too. If we can get his face to shine on us, it'll be like Dorothy landing in Oz. Everything will go from black and white to full color. Because the radiance of his face is now shining on us. So that's what we want. We want his face. Listen to this passage of Scripture in Psalm chapter 4. I really like this as I was looking at it this week. This was just in my daily Bible reading. Because, you know, when you start a new year, you get to start the Psalms. I read them twice a year, the Psalms. But on the 4th, I read this Psalm. It said this, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. You want to see good? Right here it is. This is how you're going to see good. If God will lift up the light of his countenance upon us. Verse 7 says this, thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. You want to have a happy heart? Quit looking for the corn and the wine to increase. Start looking at his face. Verse number 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I can sleep. I have peace. I have rest because his countenance is shining on me. When the light of His countenance comes to us, there is good. When the light of His countenance comes to us, I mean, He will make us more glad than those who are increasing in material things. We can sleep in peace. We can be confident because God is looking our way. Man, God is looking our way. I remember when I was a child, when I was doing something I wasn't supposed to do, my mother would look at me. And you know what I did? I didn't look at her. Because I knew that if I looked at her, I had to quit. So I just kept doing what I was doing, hoping she would look away. Much of the church is involved in what they want to do. God is trying to look at us. In fact, there's a scripture, I don't know where it is, but it says, He guides me with His eye. He looks at me. And if I look back, I will see His face. I will straighten me up, and I will see what He wants to do in my life. So, let me just say this as we are beginning here this morning. I'm going to bless you from the Numbers chapter 6, verse 26 through 24. Let me just say this to you. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Now, how's He going to do that? How will the Lord bless you and keep you? The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Do you see it? The blessing of the Lord comes as His face shines on you. The light is His light that comes from His face. The blessing of the Lord, the refreshing of God in the church, comes from His countenance. So we're going to continue to look at these things this morning just a little bit. I want us to look, what time is it? Oh, man. Okay, I'm not going to turn to these scriptures. I'm going to tell you about a couple of things. Number one, we understand that if we're ever going to look in His face, that has to be looking at His face with the eye of faith. The Bible says that in the gospel, we go from what? Faith to faith. Ever increasing, doesn't say it exactly this way in Romans chapter 1, but ever increasing in righteousness. There are levels of faith, faith to faith, that produce levels of righteousness. And part of that happens is that when the eyes of our heart or the eyes of our faith are enlightened, we can see more than we've ever seen before. The revelation of God from His face comes as a matter of faith. We cannot look at God's face in person this morning, but we can see His face by faith this morning. Are you with me? We can see Him by faith. There's going to be a day, and I just am so excited about it. There's going to be a day when I'm going to be taken from here. I'm going to be standing in His presence, and I will be looking at Him face to face. Oh, man, but that comes right now by faith. We're going from faith to faith so that we can look at His face by faith. I had a vision one day of heaven. And I mean, it was a glimpse of the throne. And it was brief that I saw this. But do you remember, those of you that are older, do you remember the day that we went from black and white TV to color? I mean, there was this one year the Federal Communications Commission ruled that all new programming had to come out in color. And I remember, I mean, from one week to the next week, Gilligan's Island went from black and white to living color. I remember I was watching Lost in Space. This is an old show. But the end of Lost in Space, every week at the end of Lost in Space, they would show a clip that would make it the cliffhanger so that you had to view in next week to see if Will Robinson was killed by the, I don't know, man-eating plant on the planet they were at. And so they would show the show, then they have a commercial, and then the last, like, minute of it was this little segment where it would give you the cliffhanger where Will and, what was his sister's, oh, you don't know, his sister, Penny was her name, Penny. Will and Penny were walking, you know, and they'd be walking along, and Will would say, "What is this, Penny?" And he would grab something. All of a sudden, this huge monster would jump out, and that's when the show would end because it looked like they were getting ready to die. We were watching it 1 week. This is the end of the last rerun before the new season came out. Well, the new season had to be in color. So we watched it in black and white. We had the commercial, and when it came back on, it was in color. That, how do I get off on this? That is what the church needs. The church needs to come to life with the face of God looking at us. I had this vision of heaven, and it was like, you remember when recently we went from analog television to digital TV? We went from analog TV to HD? Do you remember the difference in the picture? How clear and how bright the picture was. I had this vision of heaven, and it made HD TV look blurry a little bit. It was so clear, so crisp, so bright. In heaven, everything is brighter than you've ever seen it before. It wasn't blinding. It was brilliant. God wants us by faith to see that. And we live by faith so we can see Him in His presence. We go by faith, we see. By faith, we can see His face. We look to Jesus. We look to Him. And so looking in His face then brings this refreshing, and that's what we're looking for. Now, God then, He wants this kind of intimacy with us. He wants us to have this full faith encounter with Him. The blood of Jesus has made a way for us to stand in His presence. Amen. We can come boldly. We can stand in His presence because of the blood of Jesus. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, we couldn't stand there because God and sin cannot cohabitate. The Bible says He can't even look at sin. He is so holy because sin fries up in His presence. And so we come, the blood of Jesus makes us able to stand before Him. All right, our sin has been washed away. All right, now we understand if we have sin, we've got to repent so we can come boldly into the throne room. Listen to this verse, Psalm 89:15. The Bible says this, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance." Coming into the presence of God is not a sad thing. It's not a thing where, oh, we've got to be holy. No, it's a joyful thing. We walk in His countenance, not just sit in His countenance. It becomes a glad and joyful thing. Psalm 21, verse 6, it says, "For Thou hast made Him most blessed forever. Thou hast made Him exceeding glad with Thy countenance." If we're walking with God in the light of His face, we're going to be some happy, happy, happy people. Right? It's not going to be like, well, He's talking, we got to sit and look like we're holy. Amen. No, we're happy people. We ought to be just thrilled that the presence of God comes. It ought to just change everything around us. Acts 2:28 is talking about Jesus, but since we're washed in His blood and He made a way for us to come in the Holy of Holies, this goes for us. It says, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with Thy countenance." The reason the church is such a sad place to come is because there's no countenance of God. People come to do their religious service. They come because that's what we're supposed to do on Sunday morning. Oh, my goodness. I hate getting up on Sunday mornings, but I'm going to go so God will be happy with me. No, God isn't happy with you just because you come. God wants His presence to come so we can rejoice with Him, and we ought to be the happiest people ever. Woohoo! That ought to be what we're saying. It ought to be a good thing for us to come. His presence makes us happy. When we get in His face by faith, we walk from faith to faith so we can get in His face more and more and more and more. God wants us in His face. Now, let me just show you something that's pretty fun this morning. Look in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. This is an interesting passage. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." Now think about that. Think about this. Moses was not born again. Moses didn't have the opportunity to, by faith, enter the throne room of God by the blood of Jesus. Moses had a whole different relationship with God, and God came to where Moses was, and they visited together. The Bible says, face to face. I mean, that was a marvelous thing. They got together. What happened was Moses would go into the tabernacle. The glory of God would descend upon the tabernacle. The children of Israel would come to the door of their tents. They were missing it, man. God had this for all of them, but they said, we don't want to talk to him. You talk to him for us. But they'd come and stand in the midst of their tents, and then watch the glory come down. And it's like, man, I hope God doesn't kill him and us both. But God would come, and then he would move, and and Moses communed with God. Moses found a way to come into the presence of the glory of the light of God Almighty, face to face. What a day that was. Just imagine. What are you going to do today, Moses? I'm going to go talk with God. Face to face. Oh, man. He found his way. But here's the deal with Moses. Moses is like, well, that is really awesome, God. But you know, that just isn't enough. What could be better than that? Getting it more often. Doing it more. Listen to this verse of Scripture. This is that same chapter of Exodus 33, verse 17. Here's what the Bible says. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now here's what Moses said. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses is in the presence of God. He comes every day. Here's what he's basically saying. What else you want? He said, I want more. Whoa. I want more of you. And the next verse says, and the Lord said, I will make my goodness pass before thee. Moses wanted more. This is the one thing I know about the presence of God. The more you come, the more you want. Anybody who's just having religion, they can have it or not, they can do with it or without it, but the presence of God, when the church really, really, really comes and encounters the presence of God, what they're going to want is some more of that. Do you know that God is never going to peak out? It's never going to get as good as it can get. There's never going to be a time in all of eternity that we're going to be standing before God and this glory is there. We're face to face with Him. There's never going to be a time when God stands up and says, okay, guys, that's all I got. Don't have any more. No, forever and ever and ever and ever, it should get better and better and better and better. And Moses knew it, and he came into the presence, and God said, what else do you want? He said, I want more of this. I want to go to another level with this. Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. That says forever and ever and ever and ever. He's going to be keeping showing us His mercy, His grace, His goodness, His fullness. It never runs out. Moses said, that's what I want. I want that. I want that. I want you to understand something. The new refreshing that God wants to bring now is better and bigger than anything we've ever seen. Could it be better than the charismatic renewal? Could it be better than Azusa Street? Could it be better than Pentecost? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. But we've got to get to His face. Man, God wants fellowship with you face to face. Moses wanted God. Moses spoke to God. But now we understand that Moses didn't like look directly into the face of God because the blood hadn't been shed. He tells him, we're not going to turn here, but in Exodus 33, he said, you know what? You can't really see my face. Here's what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm going to put you in a rock. I'm going to pass by you. My goodness will go before you. But because the blood, he didn't say it this way, but because the blood has not been shed for you yet, you can only see kind of the side of me. That's how Moses looked at him face to face. He looked at the side of his face. looked at the backside of him. So God puts him up there, and the glory of God passes by, and he sees God in this marvelous way. Here's the fact. Today, we have access to the throne of God by the blood of Jesus. We can look at him face to face because the blood has been shed for us, because the sin has been canceled. Look at this passage. Ooh, man. Face to face with God is going to change everything. Look at this. This is the next chapter of Exodus, verse 34. Chapter 34, verse 29. It says this, and it came to pass, when Moses came down from Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, or he didn't know, that the skin of his face shone while God talked with him. It says, and when Aaron, all the children of Israel, saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Moses came off the mountain. Moses came down from the presence of God. He had been with him face to face. When he came down, his face was glowing. He had received the light of the countenance of God face to face, and the result was the light came to him and now was coming from him. Moses didn't originate the light. Moses was simply reflecting it. He had absorbed it, now he's reflecting it. The light was so bright that it caught the attention of everybody that he came in contact with. I know this, that when we get in the presence of God, when we come to him in his presence, his light will shine to us, it will then shine from us, and there's no one that will not know we have been with Jesus. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he was saying, I am the giver of light. But then when he said, you are the light of the world, what he's referring to is us spending time in his face, in his presence, to the degree that that light has shone upon us, and now we've absorbed it, and now we are radiating with his presence wherever we go. Moses could not hide the fact that he had been with God. He couldn't hide it. It was evident in everything that he was doing. We are the children of light, the Bible says. Where there is light, there is warmth. Where there is light, there is life. There is darkness out there. They are the children of darkness. Where there is darkness, there is death and cold. We have got to get in his face so this light will come upon us so that as we walk where it's dark, they can see him. And they can feel life that comes from the warmth of his light. See, that's what God wants. He wants us to be changed. He wants this light to come upon us. Exodus 34, verse 33, it says, until Moses had done speaking with them, he had to put a veil on his face. He was so bright. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak to him, he took the veil off until he came out. When he came out, spake to the children of Israel that which was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Listen, I want it to be so that when I'm with those who are unaccustomed to the light, that I have to turn it down for them. The problem is the church hasn't been in the light for so long that the world doesn't know there's a light that exists. We want to be people of his presence. What does that even mean, people of his presence? We want to be people who get in his face. See, we've got to take time with him. I'm not talking about being religious people. I'm talking about being people who've been in the presence of God for so long. When we come out of there, that something happens around us. Not because we have some weird hairdo, but because our life radiates the light of God. You cannot spend time in the presence of God and not be changed. It cannot happen. For people to say, I was just soaking in his presence. But there's no fruit of it in their lives. They weren't soaking in his presence. They were soaking in their emotions or something else. I had a guy one time tell me this, and I don't want to be critical. But he said, I was in the presence of God. Oh, it was so awesome. Oh, I was so peaceful, I just went to sleep. I thought, I've been in the presence of God before. Now, if God knocks me out, that's cool. I'm good with that. But I'm not going to fall asleep. because His presence is so awesome. I'm going to get every second of it that I can get. I'm not going to be so used to something like that I make it profane. It's always going to be wonderful for me. His presence. And it will show when we spend time in His presence. Man, Moses had light. The more he was in the light, the more he shined with the light. Now, let me get to the New Testament here. This is going to be good. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read most of this chapter. Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. In other words, listen, this thing God's going to do, it's not going to come from us. It can't come from us. Who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The new move of God has to come by the Spirit. It's not going to come because Chris chooses the right worship songs. But because the Spirit, Chris will choose the right worship songs. Does that make sense? We've got to make sure it's the Spirit that's going to lead us. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Well, that means light. But if the ministration, now listen to this, if the ministration of death, written and engraving in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, so what we were just talking about. If it was glorious, they couldn't even behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. They said, this is the old stuff. This is the old revival. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather? The word rather means more. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? How can it not be more glorious? What Moses had, we're supposed to have and have more of it. The next verse. For if the ministration of the condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. We have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. And if Moses could stand in a tent or climb upon a hill and the presence of God would come to him, when you come to the presence of God as the righteousness of God because of the blood of Jesus, you ought to shine more than Moses ever shone. This is good. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. He said, man, it was nothing compared to this. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Ooh, we ought to be shining. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Where did it come from? From His face. The refreshing comes by His Spirit. We're not going to manufacture it. We're simply going to believe what He's telling us. We're going to walk with Him by faith. Then down in verse number 12, it says this. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. I mean, Moses had to put that cloth over his face. That the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. Do you know there are people today whose minds are blinded even though they read the Bible? It's because they're not expecting anything new. It's because they're expecting it to be religious. They're expecting their religion to be proven. It says, for until this day remaineth that same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. It's over. It's done away in Christ. Verse 15. But even unto this day when Moses is read, that veil is upon their heart. You see, we need to recognize today that we have a new covenant. We don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to be veiled in any way. We can allow the light to shine on through. Verse 16 is a powerful verse of Scripture. Nevertheless, when it or you shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. That's what we read in Acts chapter 3. It says we return to Him. That's when the veil is taken away. We come face to face. We come to the refreshing of God. It's there for us right now. It's taken away. The Amplified Bible says, but wherever a person, whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away. And we can be standing before Him face to face. Verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We go from faith to faith that we might be face to face, that we might be changed from glory to glory. It's a process. But the more we get in His face, we're changed to look like what? To look like Him. So that His glory now is shining through us. We go from glory to glory. The veil of separation has been removed. We have access by the blood. We may not see Him in person face to face, but by faith we experience the very countenance, the very presence of God when we go to Him. That's what God wants. That's what He's after. He radiates from His church. Moses didn't even know he was shining. We won't be, oh, am I shining yet? We won't know it. It'll just radiate from us. We were watching the show the other night because it's Christmas. It was Christmas. We're watching the show, The Santa Claus. And Tim Allen was playing this role where he became Santa Claus. And he's getting ready to lose his Santa Claus-ness or something. I can't remember exactly. But he's in a park. He doesn't look like Santa Claus. Doesn't have a beard. Doesn't have anything. But this little girl comes up to him. And she tugs on him. He says, yes. And he calls her by name because Santa Claus knows everybody's name. He knew her name. And she said, I want such and such for Christmas. She was drawn to him because he was Santa Claus. Obviously, that's a myth. But here's the reality. When we are spend time in His presence, we will radiate His presence. And people will come to us, and they'll know there's something about us. They'll know that our God is God. There'll be revival. There'll be refreshing going on. And we will see and encounter Him. He radiates from us. We may not even know it, but the world will know that Jesus is alive. 2 Corinthians 4:6, he goes on, he's still having this conversation with them, but he says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has already shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's His face. This glory comes from His face. We need to be people who are looking at His face. That's the refreshing. Here's the bottom line. Instead of seeking the refreshing, seek the refresher. Instead of seeking our healing, let's seek the healer. Instead of seeking deliverance, let's seek the deliverer. Let's get in His face. Because that's where all the answers are. That's where the prosperity is. That's where the healing is. I'm not going there because that's where the healing is. I'm going there because He's the one I'm looking for. He's the answer to everything that I've ever wanted. He's more than I ever dreamed of. I want Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your refreshing. We thank You for the face of Jesus. And this morning, we simply want You. We simply want You. We take all of our goals and dreams for this upcoming year. We thank You for speaking them to us and thank You for giving us ambition. But Father, none of those are worth anything if we don't get You. We want You. In this church, we want You. Lord, we're not interested in how it looks. We're interested in You. We're interested in Your presence here today. We receive You this morning in Jesus' name.